Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear especially this word from our text. We're speaking to Moses as well as a phrase that Jesus himself picks up when he himself is tempted. He says, "Remember that man does not live in bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." This is our text. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, for your presence with us, for your Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts that looks to you in faith, that looks towards this table which you have set, that you will feed us with the feast of your grace today. We ask that both this meal and this message might be blessed so that your people are strengthened with the very confidence that comes from Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I'm thinking there are precious few in our country that don't know that tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I mean, it might be overlooked by some, but very few. And if I'm thinking, what's universal? It's not necessarily universal that people are gathering with some sense of worshipful thanks to our God. That much is a little bit more peculiar with us and others in the family of faith. I think, in general, Thanksgiving falls on people's mind with food, football, Black Friday sales and shopping lists, gathering with family and friends, all kinds of travel and these things together. I'm struck by that as I go back, and we could do a brief survey of how we even get to this Thanksgiving holiday. There are three main times where presidents in our country have gotten up and said, let's have this day to give thanks. Well, before there was even a president, you can go back, right? First Thanksgiving, the Plymouth Pilgrims, and so we're back, we land there in 1621. You fast forward, and it becomes a national observance with Abraham Lincoln in 1863. And then the date that we currently celebrate, this last Thursday in November, you know which president landed on that? FDR in the years 1939 and 1941. They were playing with that. Here's why I even bring that up. Because those three times, the Plymouth Pilgrims, Lincoln in 1863, and FDR in the late 30s and early 40s, those are rough times. You know, we're kind of going, we got it pretty good, but I'm thinking, okay, there's the first Thanksgiving with the Pilgrims. Nothing like the feast that you're about to have tomorrow. I mean, it was thin. It was very meager in such a way that there were more graves than there were huts around them. And half of all the original Mayflower passengers didn't make it to that first Thanksgiving. And yet they take the moment to pause and say, our God has blessed us. Abraham Lincoln, well, there was a few things going on at the time of his declaration in 1863, right? This is 2 years into the throes of Civil War. Things were rough in the country at that time. And even looking ahead towards when FDR made the declarations and the dates that we've landed on now, well, people are still really remembering the Depression at that time, and it's all the lead up to World War II. They're in the late 30s and early 40s. Here's why I bring that up as we get into our text. I'm not convinced that thankfulness is born out of us just kind of being fat and happy. But thankfulness, both as we experience it in our lives, as well as we see just some of the anchoring points of this holiday that we're celebrating, thankfulness seems to be born out of challenges and struggle. And the pause that says, you know what, in the middle of whatever else we have going on, we are people that have it good. So it is with our text. Okay, so we're in Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1 starts like this. The, The book is this sermon from Moses. Chapter 1 says, "These are the words that Moses spoke to all the people of Israel in the desert. These are the words that he spoke east of the Jordan River in the territory of Moab." Right, so you catching this? They don't even have a land yet. And God is saying, okay, we're about to go in there. Let's remember where our thankfulness lives. It's up to that point when they're right knocking on the door of the promised land. And this entire generation of people have, well, literally the nation has waited 40 years for this moment. Until every single one of those who of the previous generation had died off. You know what that means? Every single one of those that's going to cross over the Jordan had buried a loved one who would never see the promised land. The people that they had buried were those who overestimated their part in inheriting the promised land and had underestimated God who delivered them from Egypt and through Sinai in the wilderness. So the sermon starts like this, and we read this in chapter 8. Moses addresses the people and says, remember. Basically, remember the hard times. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and test you. And it goes on to say, he humbled you in order to teach you. Because if there's one thing I know for myself and probably for you, when we are mindful of our need, when we stand humbly before our God, not puffed up with any sense of self, then you and I are better prepared to say, God, thanks for what makes us solid. It specifically says this, he humbled you to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now look, all the things that our country's going to celebrate tomorrow, I mean, who doesn't like a feast and a whole lot of stuff and eating turkey sandwiches for a week? Who doesn't like equally binging on football games and kind of cheering it on? We think the Cowboys have a decent chance of winning. This is good stuff. Who doesn't like the ability to shop and find bargains and give spouses and kids and grandkids gifts that make them smile? I mean, who doesn't like these things? But we pause and take a moment here and go, I think our thankfulness is still rooted in solid fashion, even if none of those things exist. Because in fact, if we're building on those things, we're not quite getting to the core of not only thankfulness, but even who our God is. If our thankfulness is just about the stuff, the gifts, food, home, family, you can miss who your God is as the giver of every good and perfect gift. Otherwise, we're a bunch of people that just kind of go, yay, goody for me, and distanced from the humility that lets us recognize our God. So we come into our text, and he has this unique phrase that shows up twice in Scripture. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I mean, if there's one thing I understand about bread when we talk about it in Scripture, when we pray it in the Lord's Prayer, bread is a way of saying, here's how my God provides for me. In any and every way, my God gives me daily bread. And then he says, this bread is that which I eat, which I receive from my God. Not just bread alone, not just the stuff, but in every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, you know the second time this comes up, when Jesus says it? When he's saying it at the exact time of the temptation, Satan's before him, and he's hungry. Not 40 years, but 40 days. He's fasting. And so it's a pretty even compelling thing. Satan says, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus grabs this phrase and he pulls it forward. It is written, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Christ, who brings that phrase forward and embodies it himself. He who doesn't come to keep things the same, but to bring fundamental change. Those who were satiated, who were full of all the blessings of life, you know what? they didn't really notice Jesus. They overlooked him. He was another teacher. But those that were humbled, they noticed Christ. Those who recognized the brokenness of this life, who recognized the brokenness of themselves, they had eyes to see Christ, and their thanks was deep. And it's not just what Jesus says, but when he says it. He says it right after his baptism. When he's taken away into the wilderness, when he's taking on your and my place, entering fully into the brokenness of this world, and carrying it to its full conclusion. Isn't it ever funny that you see right after Jesus' baptism, he goes right into these temptations from Satan. And we get to see that Jesus is trading places with us, taking on our brokenness so that he can carry that brokenness, that sin, to its full conclusion at the cross. That looks at all the ways that we fall short and he says, I will take this because you cannot bear that burden. And so hungry for that, we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, I look to you for the way that only you can feed me. I mean, I already mentioned this feast that we have up here. Tomorrow when you go to your kitchens, you're going to have a better aroma, I suppose. You're going to go, ah, I can start smelling the turkey. Or maybe you've already made your pies and you go, oh, I want to sample. I want to dig in now. I don't know. From a lot of those standpoints, I suppose this feast doesn't look like anything real special. Until we say, Lord, I come humbly forward. That you have given me eyes of faith to say, there's the body of Christ. Wow. What kind of God do we have? There is the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of my sins. From that standpoint, think of how rich you are. Freedom in Christ, a future with confidence, a future with absolute hope. Yup, yup, and yup. And so we could stand here and just go, thank God that come whatever may, we are blessed in that way. So take a second and picture your Thanksgiving table right now, right? You can picture it tomorrow. You got the nice dishes out. You have family gathering that doesn't always get together for a meal. Picture the food, picture the people. And then kind of say, beneath and above and around and in and through that all, I give thanks for my God that has brought these blessings into my life. That I desire that we together around that feast together know and celebrate Jesus Christ. That we can be thankful, and if you're the one that gets to pray in Thanksgiving and lead the family in prayer for that feast, that you get to say, Lord, this is just a little glimpse of how good it's going to be when we are with you eternally. Mindful of the feast that has no parallel, mindful of that feast which has no end. For as the text says, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. And it grabs every highest term they can think of. A land flowing with milk and honey where you can get copper out of the hills and every possible superlative you can imagine. Now we get to a glimpse with those terms, our eternity with Christ. The Lord your God has a good land, a good place prepared for you for all eternity. Amen. And now may that peace of God which surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds centered in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.